Welcome to another episode of Bunk Guy's Corner. Welcome, everybody. I thought I'd play something. That song has been going through my head the last few days. It's one of my favorite songs by Yoshiki, you know, the founder and the pianist and the drummer for X Japan, who the musical genius of that young that individual continually astounds me. And what's going on, my friend?
Not much, just finishing up.
All right, I was just telling people that I was playing Amethyst for the audience there with Daughter from Violet UK. Mm-hmm. And just great music. It's been a while since I've done a show. I just realized that.
Yeah.
So Neptal, no, the name of the song is called Amethyst, and you can YouTube it. Yoshiki usually plays it like as an intro to most of the X Japan concerts, but it's instrumental. But then this one actually has lyrics to it, and it's just absolutely just a beautiful song. And it's really interesting, though, just because you know, you listen to something like that and you go listen to something like Kurenai, and it's total opposite ends of the spectrum. You never believe it that it was written by the same person. So
to an extent,
you know. So, I mean, everyone's been probably wondering what I've been up to. Well, I went to St. Louis to visit my family. I surprised my mother and my brother. So that was pretty fun. Unfortunately, I caught the flu right before I left. So that was not fun. In fact, I think I'm still recovering from it. But I had a great time. Of course, I picked out a lot of food that I could only get in St. Louis. And came back a week ago, right before the big snowstorm hit. Of course I'm back at work now, and of course I'm back with my baby my car. I was in St. Louis. I was driving a Chevy Spark, and it wasn't the fact that I was driving the subcompact that was bothering me, but it's like this car, it had the Chevy MyLink, so it has this big, you know, this big 6-inch LED screen, you know, with, you know, you can do, you have the iPod jack and everything, and all of that. But then, like, there's no CD player.
What are you supposed to do if you don't have an iPhone?
I mean,
everybody has an iPhone at this point. You don't have one?
I have an Android phone, but I don't put my music on my phone. I put my music on CDs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I asked them, what year is the car? And they said the car's a 2014.
No, I believe it.
I say, you telling me that it is possible that you could actually build a car in 2014 with no CD player?
They've been wanting to do that for the last 5 years. And the music industry is a big reason why. Nobody's buying physical copies anymore, and they don't want people pirating it as much. So they just figured, screw it, cut down actual unit production cost, and just do everything digitally. So
wait. Why is putting music on CDs pretty dumb? Because you lose your phone. Then you gotta go re-download all of that stuff over again, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, everyone knows, well documented, I have my issues with Apple. But as far as if you're good about backing stuff up when you do get whatever you get to replace it, the syncing up experience is so easy. Everything is just back on it. When I got my new iPhone, when I upgraded, it put like 17 gigs worth of music with all my playlists and everything on it in like 2.5 minutes.
But I don't have an iPhone.
I'm just making the example for why I understand why some people it's not a big deal to not have a CD player. Like, I have a 6 CD changer in my car, and I don't touch the thing. I just don't. I hook up my iPhone via the Bluetooth, and then I go from there. And the other convenience of doing it that way for me is if I run something like Google Maps on my phone and I'm listening to music from it, it'll do the map directions without, you know, stopping the music. It will just kind of lower the volume of the music and then tell me where I'm going. So I don't have to look at anything, and I don't have to change anything. It's extremely convenient.
You're sounding like a separatist.
I don't think so. I don't know. I have a problem with discs, and I mean, hard drives crash, stuff like that. Digital stuff's always going to crash, but you know, a disc, if you have one disc and you're on a road trip and it dies, what do you do?
Well, who ever heard of a CD dying on the
trip?
I
have worn out CDs because I've had to listen to them so much. Literally.
Oh, wow.
But I was doing, you know, 40-hour round-trip drives, like, I don't know, 12, 14 times a year for, like, 5 years.
But see, this is really besides the point. The point is that
I think it's a sign of things going forward. I think it's a sign of progress to not have CD players in a car anymore. I think it's a good thing.
I'm not understanding this. All right, you're telling me that there's nothing wrong with getting inside of a 2014 model car and it has an iPod jack, which I don't have an iPhone.
Does it have an aux input?
I didn't look for
an aux. It had to have had an aux input too, because that would have worked with your Android. Although that wouldn't have really made much of a difference because you don't have any music on your phone.
No. The FMJ. I really. You know what? This. Yeah.
It's done.
No, man. No. Because this is telling me that the world is nearing the end. Because I don't understand. Yes, exactly. It has that 6-inch. Yes, that's exactly it. That's not the interior, but that's the MyLink thing. FMJ's link. That is the MyLink thing. So you have all of that. All I'm asking is so you tell me that you can't put a CD slot in there. It will fuck up the interior.
More people listen to music on a portable device or their phone. Even at work, people don't burn CDs anymore. Everything's tracked on an iPad, and then there's a plug to plug in that person's iPad, and you listen to it through there. I mean, it's just things have changed.
I don't even have a cord to go from my phone.
Man,
it's like
$5.
I don't even have a cord to go from my phone to the freaking car.
It's $5. You can get one. It goes right into your headphone jack.
Okay. Moving back on, I am glad to be back home in my car, which does have a fucking CD player. So
that's
all
good.
Is right.
Primitive design.
even the navigation system is DVD based. Nah.
That is so primitive. The CD player for music, I understand, but I mean, CD-based navigation systems, man, that's the way of the past.
I know. If I would have gotten a 2009, it would have been a hard drive-based one, but yeah. But fine, you know.
Well,
I mean, it's
you really use that anyway?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Although I did find out a new feature about the car. So I guess the car has traffic data that is gotten over radio waves, so it's nothing to sign up for. So I'm going to try using it. No, I don't use the navigation system in the car. I use Google Maps on my phone.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it.
Well, if you wanted to end up in the ocean and you had an iPhone, you could use the Apple Maps app. That's
didn't
really
didn't
bad.
They take Google Maps off of it for a while
Yeah, because they were trying really hard to push their Apple branded one, which was just atrocious. I used it when it came out, just like for laughs, and it was just it wasn't even close.
Yeah, no. So anyway, back to the subject at hand. So yes, I'm back home and everything, and everything's going good. All right, so stepping into football for a second. Great games. And the Saints will keep marching right back home. Well, here's the thing, though. My God, if you ever visit Seattle, do not ever go to the store the night before a home Seahawks playoff game. I swear that it was like Black Friday, but worse. I thought that, you know what? It reminds me of the Star Wars Attack of the Clones at the end, except no lightsabers. People just going in and just going ham.
It was pretty calm here in San Diego tonight, but we're on the road, so a little different.
When am I ever going to get a chance to visit you?
Coming the summer.
Huh?
Coming the summer.
I got the last week of July off.
What weekend is Evo this year?
It's probably the second week.
All right. Well, as we get closer, we'll figure that one out.
All right. So, by the way, so what did you think of the games?
I'll start, I guess, with the last game, because that's the one that's freshest in everybody's mind. Mm. I thought it was an awful game. I think that Seattle should have been up by 30 or more going away with that game. The second half, Russell Wilson was absolutely useless. I think he threw for like 14 yards. Seriously.
Drew Brees. He had that one pass to Baldwin.
he had the one pass. That was no, it. I'm not counting that. If you don't count the Baldwin pass, I think it was seriously under 20 yards for the entire half, which is just pathetic to watch. And Drew Brees was god awful. He was throwing the ball at the ground, and it was just like the Philadelphia game. He wasn't even close. And it goes back to my theory of if that team doesn't have home field in the playoffs, they're not going anywhere. He needs perfect conditions. He really can't play outside of it.
He was better in the second half.
But he's still, I mean, people talk about Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers like they're, you know, the new Joe Montana of the game. Like all these records, blah, 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 regular season. They're just so underwhelming. They had two fluke runs.
You know what? It's one of those things where, I mean, honestly, you know, it's hard. To all due respect to Drew Brees, it's really hard to pass on if the Seahawks defense, their strength is their secondary more than their front.
But that's not the my point was, he wasn't close. He was underthrowing 15 yards. He was not even close.
I know, like, but in this case, I'll give him a little bit of a pass because the weather it was absolutely shitty because, after all, I live here. The weather was absolutely shitty, especially in the first half.
But it doesn't matter. The football was in that situation. And if he didn't do the same thing in Philadelphia last week, I wouldn't be so hard on him. But he did the same thing last week. He was god-awful. And the thing is, if the Seahawks caught balls that were passed basically to them, the game wouldn't have even been close. And it was the same thing in Philadelphia last week. The Eagles could have easily had 3 or 4 interceptions. They just kept dropping the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting though because it's actually considering the weather. I mean, they played the game that they wanted to play. They wanted to play smash mouth, hard nose running football. This was not really great weather for great passes anyway. You know, so Russell Wilson just don't turn the ball over.
Lose the game.
Don't lose the game, which he didn't. So you know, so in my view, it was interesting towards the end, but it was just watching the Saints in an exercise of futility. they really could not get anything going except for, you know, a couple of, you know, a fluke, you know, a ball that was tipped and then was caught by Meacham, you know.
Again, another ball that should have been intercepted.
Yeah, that should have been intercepted, right, you know.
So I don't know. I'm not sold on him.
And
he was in the right place at the right time in New Orleans when they made their run. They had home field. They did great. Took advantage of it and they won their ring. Good for him. But I do not see him as one of those quarterbacks you look at in the postseason and say, I don't want to have to go against him if he's in our building. You know what I mean?
Right. I understand. So now going to the game that just concluded.
That wasn't. What is there to say? I mean, Andrew Luck looked awful for every three plays that he had one decent play. But I mean, the Patriots punter, that was the funniest play of the game, where they snap the ball on a punt. It goes past the punter. The punter gets the ball around the 2-yard line, and instead of falling dead on it, he gets the great idea that in the face of four defenders coming at him, he should try and throw the ball. So he tries to pass the ball, and it gets deflected and ends up being a safety. And it was just the sloppiest play. He actually got injured. He didn't come back in the game. They had to use the backup. It was a mess. You didn't see that?
Yeah, well, no, I actually did not see that. I heard about it.
You got to see it. It was so. You know,
I mean, it reminded me. Well, we have something similar, like in the Seahawks game. So instead of Colston catching the ball and just going out of bounds so they can try a Hail Mary,
yeah,
he's going to try to do a forward pass.
And the funniest thing is there was people in Capcom, I think it was Janu Serda, just like, you're an idiot if you think that the coaches didn't tell him to keep running. And I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. There's 8 seconds on the clock. He's on the sideline, and he has a first down. Step out of bounds. You have supposedly this great quarterback. Give him one or two more shots. What the fuck are you doing? And then not only is it a ball that's a lateral, supposedly, the ball went forward about 5 yards when he threw it. I mean, it wasn't even close. And that's how you lose the game? I mean, come on.
And I mean, not only that, he shouldn't have attempted it, because if you don't lateral it right, if it's a forward pass, it's a 10-second one-off and you lose anyway. So even if the time didn't expire.
Yes, which did happen.
Which did happen, right. So, yeah, so he's like, I mean, just fall. He said, just step out of bounds and let him go for a Hail Mary. Oh, wow, that was just.
I mean, it wasn't like he was in the middle of the field when he caught the ball.
No.
He caught the ball on the sideline.
No, there was no chance of him getting into the end zone. So the best
no,
thing for him
to do no. is step out. He had another 50 bounds. Yards to go. Yes. You get out of bounds.
Get out of bounds, let it go for a Hail Mary. You know, you hope for either a touchdown or a PI and, you know, I mean, go from there. Since, you know, the game cannot end on a defensive penalty. So hey, I mean, but whatever. Yeah.
What do we know?
So yeah. Andrew Luck. Yeah, man. I mean, he threw like 6 picks in the 2 games this year, or 7 actually. I think.
It was ugly.
Yeah,
he looked a lot like Andy Dalton today.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. You know, although. With that being said, you know, I mean, he is going against Belichick. Belichick does kind of make, you know, good quarterbacks look average. You know, I still think his future is bright, and I think that he has that the Colts will still be a team, a contender. You know, I think they got. I mean, I was amazing that they were in. You know, they were in the game. You know, in this position to begin with. You know, I'm like I said when I stepped on the plane last Saturday. The Chiefs were up like 38-23,
mm-hmm.
and then once I got a signal when the plane was landing and I saw the Colts won 45-44, I was like, and I yelled expletive out.
But anybody, you watch that game and then you know they're playing New England this week after, they give up 44 points to an Andy Reid offense.
Yeah,
you're not beating anybody, not on the road. You're giving up that at home.
Yeah, the defense just. So that was actually my pick from the AFC to be the representative of the for the Super Bowl. I made this pick obviously before the season began, but
yeah. Well, at least you didn't pick the Texans.
No, didn't pick the Texans.
A lot of people did. A lot of people did.
So let's talk about tomorrow's games. What are your predictions for Carolina and the 49ers, which should be another.
I like an upset in that game. I like the Panthers.
I mean, hey, it's hard to pick against them because they already have beaten the 49ers this year.
I think that they know how to shut down Kaepernick. And the reason why Kaepernick beat Green Bay was not with his arm, but it was with his legs. Mm-hmm. And their rush defense, Carolina's, doesn't let him get away with that. So if they take away his legs and force him to throw, they're going to win the game.
But with that being said, you know, they do got Michael Crabtree back.
Well, he played last week, too.
Yeah, I mean,
Crabtree had a big game last week.
No, and that's what I'm saying, but when they met the first time, I don't think wasn't back, you know.
And Vernon Davis is, you know, probably one of the best tight ends in the league.
That game is almost as close as 50-50 as he can get. I like to see the Panthers win, but I would not be surprised if the 49ers.
I don't think it'll be a landslide by any means, but if you're asking me to pick, I'll take the Panthers.
So Chargers at Broncos.
Phillip Rivers owns Peyton in the playoffs.
He does. And they've already beaten Denver.
Yep.
At Denver this year.
I'm telling you, I think that's going to be a shocker. I can't even imagine the Chargers in the AFC Championship game. I mean, it's a real possibility. It's just crazy to think about. Because I can drive to that stadium in 10 minutes.
I am going to pick Denver just because I think that Peyton Manning is going to flip us, which is like, you know, enough of this bullshit, you know, of this.
Well, he's look at his record in the postseason overall. Forget against Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I know. I think that this will be the one year where he'll turn it on. And after what happened last year, I think they're really focused on not, you know, not shooting themselves in the foot and let their
opponent. Yeah, I think I think that's a burden on them, though. And also,
I
think it's a burden also because San Diego has nothing to lose. San Diego already did more than they were supposed to do.
Now, here's the thing, though. If San Diego wins, so San Diego goes to New England. Do you remember the last time what happened when San Diego came to play in New England?
It was a mess. It was a mess.
Oh man! So now going back to the NFC for a second.
We're looking at if what I say, what I think happens, then you're looking at Carolina at Seattle.
Right? Can they beat Seattle?
Yes.
At Seattle.
And the only reason I say that is because Seattle doesn't have. Well, not that they don't have the firepower, they certainly do, but they have not shown that they can really put teams away when in a big game. I mean, they did against in earlier in the season when they blew out San Francisco. I mean, they blew them out. I mean, that was an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, I mean, where have they really dominated offensively against a quality team?
But to me, it's one of those things also. They're not dominant. I mean, they're not the 99 Rams, far from it. They are not an offensive
powerhouse. They just show on turf.
Yeah, I mean, they're nowhere near. In fact, I heard some people making a comparison. I'm like, no, don't get it twisted, nigga.
That's just stupid.
It's like, you say your team is. It's like, you better be damn lucky that we do not have access to a time machine. You go to ninth, you bring the 99 Rams here, and they will clobber your ass.
You got to remember, a lot of people now really don't remember that.
Yeah, they don't even remember that. It was like 5 years old at the time. You know, wasn't 5 years old. I'm like, don't even get it twisted like that. But I think that Russell Wilson can be clutch.
I think he can too.
I think that when it comes down to it, he made, just like he didn't do anything almost the entire game today, but he did make that one throw to to Baldwin that, you know, that set up Marshawn Lynch.
You know what?
I mean, I'm sure there's some Marshawn Lynch jersey burnings in New Orleans because I'm sure they hate that dude, even though he don't even talk. He almost leaves a mute. In fact, he got fined by the NFL for not talking to the media. He just doesn't. I mean, it's not like that he's a problem. He just don't talk.
Well, he is a problem. He's done a lot of bad shit in his life.
Yeah, I mean, again, and it's all directed to New Orleans players, you know.
No, he's done some really bad stuff off the field.
When? I haven't really followed Marshawn Lynch before he came from Buffalo.
I think he has either one or two Deweys. One of them is most recent. He's going on trial after the Super Bowl. And then when he was in Buffalo, he found guilty of hitting and running on a walking pedestrian in Buffalo. Oh, wow. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but the kind of person, I mean, good for him. He's all the talent in the world, and he kills the Saints. Great. But hitting and running a person on foot, I don't know.
I mean, he's like passed by the pedestrian and say, listen, you know, if you ran as fast as I did, you wouldn't have gotten hit and just took off.
You do something, or at least you call the police. If you're going to run, you know, you put in an anonymous tip, I guess, you know, and then maybe you cover the medical bills. But the guy's a millionaire, and he hit somebody that was on foot with his car.
Dude, he don't even talk to the media. You think he's going to talk to the police?
I think if his money is involved, yeah. If you get money involved in jail time and not having a career, I mean, things change drastically for these players in all sports, not just football. Mm-hmm. Just food for thought, you know.
Interesting. Why did Justin Bieber come up for people I should follow on Twitter? And then in the middle of Seattle Weekly, and then I have Lil Wayne. I'm like, I'm about to delete my Twitter account.
All right, now I gotta see what comes up on mine. Oh, I want to delete my Twitter so bad. Oh, I want to delete it so bad.
What is the first one?
It's not a person.
Okay, you gotta give me a little bit more than that.
Think about what we were just talking about.
Oh, they want you, Seattle Seahawks?
The New York Jets.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I could take credit for that.
Oh, my God. The anger. The fucking anger. God. Jets. Oh, and then Jason Siegel. Who's Jason? Oh, that's Marshall from How I Met Your Mother, I think. And then the last one, Zach Galifianakis. I follow a lot of comedians on Twitter. I feel like they're almost better on Twitter than on stage because you can prepare better. And a one-liner comes across a lot better than like a 30-minute set with maybe three or four of them.
Wow.
So I find that entertaining.
So what have you been up to, my friend?
Just work. I had family in. That was expensive. A lot more expensive than I thought it was going to be. But, I mean, it was fun. Had a good holiday, I guess. And now it's just kind of back into the grind. I did tell you, though, I'm addicted to that game, Rocksmith.
Yeah, so did you download the Extra Pants songs? Were there any?
Did. The pack is glitchy. There's about a 10-second non-sync. So I don't know anything about programming, so there's no way I can go in and fix it.
Oh, that's sad. That sucks.
I'm sure, you know, it's one of those things where anybody can program it in, I guess, if you have the software to do it. So there's fans that make all these tracks and stuff. So it's not to say it'll never be on there, but the one that's on right now is no good. It's no good.
Okay. By the way, let me ask you a question. This is going back to football for a second.
Sure.
Because I happen. So, do you remember about last year around this time? Was it last year? Or was it the year before? It might be the year before, actually. It might have been 2012, actually. You remember when? Do you remember when Randy Moss said that he was the greatest ever?
Yes.
Now you
that
know
was, that was the year before.
That was the year before.
Now
here's the thing, though. At first, I was like most people and said, you're out of your mind. You put Randy Moss's statistics next to Jerry Rice's, it is no debate.
Yeah,
it's not even close.
It's not close.
However, it could be argued that Jerry Rice was surrounded by like one of the best offenses, the Bill Walsh offense, ever assembled on a football field. And Randy Moss didn't have quite the talent surrounding him when he was in Minnesota. You know, And so where do you fall? Because there are some people that really think that...
No, I think it's a silly debate. Okay. I don't think it's close.
I will say this, and I think that this is something that's down the middle. Jerry Rice, when you consider not just his statistics, but his work ethic and what he has done for the game, he is the greatest player at the wide receiver position of all time.
No argument.
The greatest athlete.
That's a different story.
Yeah. Because, you know,
but it's just not based on athleticism. Because, I mean, just some of the most athletic players in the league weren't successful or didn't have long careers.
I'm just saying that. But, and plus, when you're talking about, man, you know what? I think Randy Moss's strongest argument is that he did really alter how a defense covers wide receivers.
Well, his speed was ridiculous.
He ran a 4.1.
To be that tall and that fast and have hands, it wasn't fair.
It was, even Warren Sapp said, when he came on the field, he played against, you know, the greatest receivers, you know, himself. He's like, man, we came on the field, everybody played way deep. I mean, people think that it was really Randy Moss that started the whole cover two scheme. Because it was just, he gets behind you and then poof, he's off to the races. No one can ever catch him. I mean, I think that his strongest argument that he did really change the game as far as how wide receivers were defended in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And now it says, but so as far as impact, is he the greatest impact wide receiver? I think he can make an argument for that. Is he the greatest player? No. Because a player is more than his statistics. His player is all of it. Route running, that was Jerry Rice. Work ethic, Jerry Rice by a mile. Longevity, Jerry Rice by a mile and a half. Hands, maybe that goes to Randy Moss. Speed, that goes to Randy Moss. Impact, the ability to impact the game, I even think that goes to Randy Moss on any given Sunday. But that, to me, speaks to more of the athleticism than to him being an overall player. That's what I think.
I agree. I mean, it's one of those topics where I'm so on the same page as you. It's like I would be echoing you if I said what I thought about it, you know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it was just I was – because, you know, because it's interesting, though, because – one of the arguments that was made for Randy Moss's side was, you saw what he did in New England with the Patriots, you know, and you know, when you surround him with an offense, a great offense, you know, you see what he can bring. And, you know, and you're saying now, had he had that since the beginning, he would have most likely broken most of Jerry Rice's records, which, yeah, would have, could have, would. I mean, it's really...
And this sounds bad in retrospect, but at the time, you think about how good of a combo him and Culpepper were. Culpepper was a triple threat himself, and Culpepper could stretch defenses on his own, and then you had to worry about, you know, the flat route or just a straight up streak with Moss. So there is no surefire way to play against them as a combo. They complemented each other really well. Because if they bit or they blitzed, Moss is gone. Or if they put too much onto the pass, then Culpepper could tear him apart from the middle of the field. And then, of course, Culpepper goes on to Miami, and that was a flop, and blah, 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 blah. But at that time, when they were at their peak in Minnesota, they were a great combination together. They complemented each other really well.
That's true, but, you know, Culpepper was not a pure...
I'm not saying he was. I'm just saying the dynamic between those two specific players worked really well. They were fun to watch.
I mean, they were. Watching him with Randall, I mean, it was great. I mean, they really did do a great. I mean, he really did. You know, when I went back and I look at the footage on YouTube, I mean, he was ridiculous.
And isn't that sad though? not the skill or anything like that. Just the point of people can judge, or people will judge a player based on what they see of highlights on YouTube now. Like younger people who didn't get to see them. I mean, like, it's cool because at least they get to see something, but they'll form an entire opinion about a player that they never got to watch play live based on highlight clips. And I don't know. I don't think that's fair at all, because it doesn't say anything about what he did the rest of those games.
Right, you know? Exactly. I mean, and, you know, and I, and by the way, right, going back, I just saw what FMJ said. That's also, when you're saying the greatest, what do you define as greatness? Because your idea of greatness may differ from someone else's. Truly, true. Randy Moss was not a what you might consider a role model.
A lot of players that are amazing, you know, at the game aren't. Michael Jordan is a god awful role model. He's addicted to gambling.
Yeah,
he was terrible to his teammates. He was hard on them but he did it to get the best out of him. But still, as far as a sheer role model goes.
Yeah.
There was a lot of bad things about him, and he's the best player to ever play the game.
Right. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm, you know, because, you know, but that's what I was saying, though, is that I'll just say this. It's a great thing we don't have a time machine again, because, I mean, I would hate to have Jerry Rice on one end and Randy Moss on the other. I mean, that would be.
That'd be fun.
No, that would not be fun for the defense. I mean, it was more like just pick your poison at that point, you know, and it's, you know, cause, you know, because, you know, one end people, you know, and in fact, some people that depend on defending Jerry Rice is like, okay, when they were talking about Randy Moss and how he altered how defense is played, you know, the, you know, against great wide receivers like him, but he's like, but Jerry Rice, you know, yards after the catch, that was, you know, that coin was turned. He coined that term because that was what made him so special, you know, and, so, but you know what? I guess the most interesting thing about that is that it was a debate to begin with. Because at first I'm like, that's an open shut case. But then you got to start considering the situation and the circumstances, and then it wasn't as quite as black and white as I thought in the beginning. So. Wait. What is King of the North? Is that tournament this weekend?
Defend the North? Yeah, that was this weekend.
I'm sorry, what did I say? King of the North? I mean, Defend the North. All right,
6-1, half dozen or the other, really doesn't matter. Everything's a major now, Ben. Every event is a major.
I know.
Or they call themselves that. I gotta tell you, Ben. I watched about an hour of Street Fighter 4 today. All right.
You forced yourself to watch an hour of Street Fighter 4?
Well, I was watching it was during a New England game, and the game was done. You know right. what I mean? So I had the game on the TV, and I was passively watching, and I was hoping, you know, maybe they can come back and make a good game out of it. Mm-hmm. But obviously, that never happened. So I was watching Street Fighter in the meantime, and the play is just, it was just so sloppy. Like, people just hit buttons now. Like, it takes me a break of not watching a game to realize, you know, kind of what it's evolved to. Not that mashing hasn't always been around in games. You know, I get that. And when I was a kid playing, certainly I was mashing hard. But, I mean, the reward of it is just terrible. But the main thing that I got out of it, like, anybody can commentate. And it is a beautiful thing and a god-awful thing at the same time. There was one point in the stream where you had, I'm not going to name any names, we had these two guys who are big boys, like big, big guys. And all they were talking about is fast food over some of the best matches of the night with Dominion. And they're just talking about how they love this burger with this on it and this on it, and that, oh, this place sucks and blah. And I'm sitting here and I'm just like, are you serious? And then when they're not doing that, they're trying to talk like yipes. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Well, that's the reason why I don't commentate, because I'd be horrible at commentating.
No, but you wouldn't go out of your way to try and sound like what you think the people want you to sound like. I mean, that's right. Kind of the beautiful thing about this show. There's not a lot of viewers on it, but we can really be ourselves on it.
Right.
Yep. So I get so frustrated by that. And they had 10,000 some odd people listening to just garbage.
It's literally I'm garbage. I'm gonna tell you a commentator that I'm having a real issue with, and that is this Zeke's dude. All right.
Who?
Zeke's. I think that's what his Twitter name is. Zeke, I think is. Or
it well, begins with a they Z. Called Isaiah Thomas Zeke, so I automatically don't like this guy.
No, his problem is that when he commentates, he uses these metaphors and he goes off on his tangent. He's like, for example, there was one match when Infiltration started using Oni. He's like, and he's talking about, oh, it's Oni. He's imagine Akuma Super Saiyan, but he's not Super Saiyan 3. He's Super Saiyan 2.
Oh, Zeep.
Yeah, and I'm going, I'm like, the heck is he going on about? I'm like, and he does this all the time.
Yeah, he's god-awful. And and the worst is when they put him on with a female. It's so awkward. It's just, it's straight out. You know that god-awful show, Tim and Eric?
No, but maybe that's a good thing.
Trust me, it's a good thing. But it's basically like that. It's just this extremely awkward time that you just like, you personally just want it to end. Like, you just want to teleport there and just be like, it's over. It's done. You're out of here and you're out of here. Just, this is just awful. And it's happened a lot. It's bad. It's really bad.
And he goes off in these weird tangents and I'm just like, oh man. And
it's just a creepy dude. Ears.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, you know what, to be honest with you, I miss Seth.
He's a one-event guy, man.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm glad that I'm so happy that he came and did the commentation for Street Fighter at EVO last year. You know, so I'm happy that he'll still be there. Yeah, honestly, to be honest with you, so I'm surprised you watched Street Fighter 4. I mean, honestly, right at this point, as usual, I'm kind of...
You're tuned out until the next version.
Correct. So right now, I don't give a shit about AE 2012. So all I'm trying to... that's why I kept asking people in Capcom, is there any new Ultra Street Fighter 4? Because I'd say this much, that... this may be the most interesting version of Street Fighter 4. Not just because of the new characters. It's because certain characters have gotten the attention that they deserve. Like El Fuerte. You know, I honestly think that...
that's not a Street Fighter character.
I understand. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's just kind of odd that it is not coming out until June. I'm like, golly, Moses, is it really going to take that long? I digress. So the rumored fifth character. So I'm about 90% sure it is that girl from Ibuki's ending in Street Fighter 4, Sai or whatever.
Why?
I was like, I have no idea.
Ugh.
I mean, like, there's absolutely no hype around it. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I just don't get it.
They don't care. I think that's just lazy.
I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't understand, though. It's just, I don't understand. I mean, I'm trying to think what would have been the most hype character to put in Street Fighter that has not been in Street Fighter thus far. You know, of course, you get 150,000 different answers.
Yeah, but I mean,
but her would not be
a quote unquote clone character is so not exciting unless she's dramatically different than everybody else.
I'm hearing that she will be different than Ibuki.
Different. Ugh.
You know, I mean, it's
people use
not,
that so loosely, though. I mean, they'll have stuff in common, and that alone will kind of contribute to it.
I mean, it's like I said, you know. I mean, and I'll do this because you know what? To be fair, I absolutely, you know, as I told everyone, I wish that Juni was in Street Fighter 4 because she was, I mean, in Alpha 3, she was fun as hell. And she plays nothing like Cammy.
Mm.
You know, I mean, first of all, she's a charge character. You know. But she plays nothing like Cammy. But it was a very fun character. So, I mean, that's so, even though that, I mean, just like with you and Ken, I mean, just because they have certain common roots does not mean that they will be clones and therefore they should not be, you know. Yeah, I mean, Capcom is going to be full. I mean, you know, I think that Capcom is, well, first of all, Capcom is in trouble. I mean, because even, I mean, if the rumor is true, they only got $100 million in the bank. Yeesh. That scares me.
That doesn't really scare me. They'll be fine.
Okay. I have my faith in you, Jim.
They'll be just fine.
I am on... By the way, did you buy a PlayStation 4 yet?
I did.
You sold it.
Yeah, I got rid of it. I have no need for it right now.
Are you going to play the new Final Fantasy game?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not... I was never really huge into Final Fantasy.
Me either, but that game looks... I'll tell you much. Whoever put that TV together, it looks
good, but I don't like games that are that long. And I know that sounds stupid because it sounds like your value isn't getting played out when you get a shorter game. But I'm not talking about. I like games where the replay value is higher, even if the game is shorter, or like a fighting game. That's why I like playing FIFA because it's a 6 minute game and no two games are the same. And you play Tekken, it's you know, it's 3 or 4 minutes and you can always learn new stuff. There's no end to the game. Whereas opposed to if you spend, you know, what, 20, 30 hours on a game, then you beat it. I mean, that's it. You're done. You going to go through that 20, 30 hours again? No, I hope not. I'm not.
It'd be the greatest 20 or 30 hours.
No, and I don't have the time. Like, I don't have the time. Saying, I don't have the time to invest 30 hours
in. You know, I think I know. You know what you're saying that you rather have 4 or 5, you know, great, you know, good one night stands as opposed to a long lovemaking session.
Yes, because either way, they're both going to end.
Okay.
Might as well have variety. It's the spice of life.
Oh God! Oh man! By the way, so there's this situation that's really kind of sad.
Yeah.
But you know, but I wanted to pass by because it is happening in your state. There is a girl who went in for a tonsillectomy and came out a corpse, basically. She's brain dead.
Oy.
And the reason why this is such a sad case, besides the obvious, is the fact that her mother is not giving up. Her mother, they was going to take the ventilator out off of her. Her mother went to court, got an injunction, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, to keep her on the breathalyzer, you know, or the ventilator, I'm so sorry, not the breathalyzer. So now the doctors say that the little girl is gone. She's dead. And there's nothing they can do for her. The mother is saying, the hell, you said, fine. I want to move my daughter to another hospital. But then you got to put this special tube in her so to keep her alive while they transfer her to a different facility.
Ugh.
Which the doctors say, we're not going to do that. I am not going to operate on a dead person like that. Now do you see where this gets really, really freaking bad?
Yikes.
On one hand, I understand exactly what the doctors are saying. They're saying that this is a tragedy, which it is, but it's done. There's nothing that can be done now. and you're only prolonging the inevitable. You know, as talking about the parent, the mother. And even the judge said that, you know, that's what they're, he says, I got a chance to talk with them and understand what was going on. And they said that nothing can be done. But the judge made a very good point. And it's something that can't be underestimated. But however, that's not their child sitting there.
It's,
you know, it's one thing, you know, and yes, exactly. I know, Jim, you already can sense it. And that's why and that's a fair point. How are you going to fault the parent for fighting to the bitter end?
You lose. No, it's a lose-lose. It's just a deplorable, it's just a terrible situation for everybody to be in.
You know, and I like, because I'm like, because I mean, on one hand, you know, it's easy to think, you know, I'm just going to let her go.
No, I don't even think it's easy to think that. I mean, even if you're a doctor, your job is to save lives. But if you're educating, you spent your whole life learning that craft, and you see an open and shut case like, look, it's over. I mean, that's got to be almost impossible to just futilely spend your time on something you know is not going to end up working out.
Right.
And then you get even more connected to the family that's involved, knowing there's no way you're going to save that kid. But what are you going to do, say no?
That's what they're doing. They're saying no. I mean, they don't – I mean, they're saying that they have issues on operating on a dead person. Even though that, okay, she is clinically dead but not physically dead. I remember when I read this case, when I was reading about this case, I gotta ask Jim about this one, because I like to get your feedback on something like that. Because on one hand, I understand exactly what the doctor's coming from. You know, the one thing that the judge did say, that, you know, I have all the respect for this judge. He says, you know, the first thing I did, when I was listening to this, I got a chance to talk to the attorneys and to the doctors. And I asked him, how is it that a little 13-year-old girl goes in for a tonsillectomy and comes out the way that she came out? And I did not get an answer that I wanted to, that the answer that I was seeking, you know. And even though that's technically not before me, it bothers me that when I said that a girl goes in for a tonsillectomy and comes out the way she came out, you know. But that's not before me, but I wanted to know that, you know. I mean, the judge was very sympathetic, more than sympathetic than I've seen some other judges in similar situations, you know. You know, but Mike, you're right. It's a lose-lose situation. It's a lose-lose situation. And part of me says that the mother is staving off the inevitable, I'm sorry. But there's also the fact that that is not my child. And if that was my child, I will fight tooth and nail. I will tell that to the doctors. I'm like, you understand, that's my child. I will fight tooth and nail to the very bitter end before I will concede. And I don't think that's wrong. I don't think that's necessarily just someone who's unwilling to accept reality. Because there are some people that are unwilling to accept reality, and it's a 1 in a million odds something miraculous has happened. You know, but I don't know, man.
That's just heavy stuff, man.
That was heavy. I mean, it was heavy, and I mean, I guess.
No, it's stuff that. I mean, in fairness, it's stuff that should be what people are talking about as far as the news goes. But you mean look at some of the things that make the news nowadays. That's like an actual story.
I mean, it's an actual story. I mean, to be honest with you, that breaks my fucking heart.
Well, it should.
It breaks my fucking heart because of not just what happened to the girl, it's what the parent is going through. With the whole situation, because I'll be honest with you, if I was that girl, I mean, the girl is 13 years old. Technically, she's old enough to be my daughter. I mean, I'm almost 35. You know, that definitely could have been. So the mother's probably the same age as I am. You know, and I just can't imagine.
It's an impossible situation.
Oh, man. What a life.
Sad. Other current events that are happening in California. 2 days ago, there was about... I live on 14th Street, to give you a little perspective. On 41st Street, probably, I don't know, I want to say 10, 15 blocks further south, there was a shootout between the police and a guy in a car who had allegedly kidnapped somebody. And it was in broad daylight. He ended up letting the person out of the car that he had kidnapped, and the cops shot the shit out of him in broad daylight in front of everybody. He got hit with like 8 bullets, they said.
Did he have a gun?
Oh yeah, he was shooting out at the cops.
Okay.
It was an actual shootout, like kind of out of a movie, I guess, is what they made it out to be. They closed off half of that area in National City. And that's close to me, man. That's right. Relatively close. Right. So that kind of turns me off to moving a little more inland.
There, I don't know if I told you this, but there was a, you know, we've been having a lot of, you know, as the case when the economy is bad, it's been a lot of bank robberies. And, you know, oh, that reminds me. Okay. All right, Jim.
Yeah.
There is another controversy brewing. It was a Super Bowl ad that the NFL has banned.
What company?
It's called, hold on, let me see here. It's called, the name of the company is called Daniel Defense.
Okay.
So, I mean, go ahead and watch the commercial. Go ahead and watch the Super Bowl ad. And then tell me what you think.
Okay, post the link.
All right, it is incoming.
Gun commercial band. Okay. I'm gonna mute myself while I watch it.
Okay. Don't worry, folks. Jim will be back after these messages. Maybe I should have some Alphaism commercials. By the way, there was a big we talked about this on not we as in some of my friends on Facebook. We talked about this commercial at length. Now, have you finished watching it?
I'm done.
All right. On the surface, it seemed very hypocritical for the NFL to ban this commercial because of bias about guns and whatnot. But at first I was like, yeah, the guy at the end, the black dude at the end, you know, he was talking about how hypocritical it was and how there's been political influence in the NFL in the past and no one ever says anything. But then I went to the website for Daniel Defense. They're not selling little 9mm or 38s or 45s. We're talking about carbine M4. Like, shit, I have a Mass Effect 3 on my character. What kind of home invasion are you protecting yourself against with that type of weaponry? That's not meant for the thief. I'm sorry, dude. There's no way you're gonna convince me that's for the, you know, for the common criminal.
That's, I think they watch too much Heroes.
I mean, that's for the people that believe in the NWO. I'm serious. You don't buy. You see what I'm saying, Jim? You don't buy those weapons for no damn just a common crook breaking into people's houses. You buy that type of weaponry when the people on the other side of that door got this goddamn same weaponry. That's what that's for. I mean, it's just like saying, you know, or it's just like, you know, having a commercials like defend your family well, buy Bunk Guy's rocket launchers. A little bit overkill. That's a little bit of an overkill, man. So what do you think? Jim, you might be still muted.
No, I forgot to unmute it. My first reaction to the video is kind of funny. I thought his wife was pretty.
Wow.
She was pretty. I thought she was a pretty woman. I thought the commercial was relatively harmless.
Right, I did too.
I thought it was. I didn't think there was anything that wrong with it.
No, there's nothing wrong with the commercial, but it's completely unrealistic, though.
To an extent, yes. I think that the products that they sell, based on that, because once you started talking about going to the website, I went to the website too, and I was like, "Wow, you got to be kidding me!"
Yeah, I mean, did you see the weaponry they sell? That they're not selling.
They are preparing to be invaded by all the villains of the Heroes TV show. I mean, they're getting ready, man. There are people, dude, that can teleport coming at them. There are people that can heal. I mean, that is artillery. That is not what you use to protect your baby and your hot wife.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of that. But you know what? At the same time, the commercial doesn't portray any of that.
No, it doesn't. And I guess that's the kind of thing that maybe that's, you know, here's the thing is that maybe that's You know what? Here's a very interesting hypothesis. Maybe the reason why the NFL don't like the commercials is because, in a way, it may be construed as a wake up call that I'm 100% anti gun, but I will gladly admit that the government is trying to take guns away from the citizens. I'll be the first to tell you that. I believe
the first gun they show you is right out of Call of Duty.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about. This weapon. Listen, man. The weapons they have on there, I don't even have enough credits to buy.
We would need to buy some Xbox points and buy the TLC.
Dude, I mean, right. I'm looking at those. I'm like, dude. Like, I can't even get these in the commendation pack on Mass Effect. I can't even get these. I mean, yeah, that's what I say.
This is military grade, too.
It's what I'm saying, though. That's what I'm saying is, like, honestly, I don't know, man. That's what I'm saying, man. You don't buy those type of weapons for the common criminal. You buy those weapons when you think some shit is about to go down. I'm being dead serious now.
All right, let me look at some of these law enforcement rifles. Can I buy a law enforcement rifle? Am I allowed? Oh my god, that is awesome looking. This is only $2,000, dude. All right, can I buy it now? If I can buy it now, I will seriously buy one. That would be hilarious. Retail price is $21.99. Law enforcement is $2,000, but it's on sale for $19.99. So how do I buy it?
Now remember.
Now hold on. I want to see how easy it is to buy one of these things.
By the way, I just wanted to say that I have known nothing about guns, right? Mm-hmm. But when I see AR-15 Light Rail 2 with the quick alignment tabs, aiding alignments to the upper receiver during installation, patented bolt-up system requiring 4 bolts instead of 6, lighter, stronger, better, rear and front swing swivel attachment points.
Where is the buy it now option? You have no items in your cart. Let me go to my cart. Continue shopping. Okay. Am I not allowed to buy that one because it's military link?
So, like, look at this one. The Daniel Defense M4 Carbine version 3.6.8 SPC2. I don't know what that means. 16-inch S2W barrel. Can anyone decipher that for me?
Okay, I put it in my shopping cart. I put in a Daniel Defense M4 Carbine V7 1509. Dude, all I have to do is put in my fucking zip code to get a shipping estimate. Hold on, let me do that. California 92101. Get a quote. And the site is slower than shit. $31 for home delivery. Okay.
The hell is this?
Hold on. Proceed to checkout.
The hell is this? Hey, can I show you something?
Holy shit, Ben. I could literally buy this right now. I could buy this fucking assault rifle right now. I don't have to fill out anything. I don't have to do anything. That's disgusting. That's disgusting. Alrighty then.
dude, look at this one, man. Look at this gun. Tell me what do you need to, I wanna ask in all seriousness, what do you need this weapon for? Hold on. Take it.
You owe the mob like $4 million.
God dang it. Listen, man, I know nothing about guns, but something tells me that particular motherfucker right there.
That looks pretty serious. You know who would have been good on for this subject is Jason Atomic. He loves guns.
Okay, we need to get him on the show. We need to do a look at like a product review of this stuff. This gun should have been on that commercial inside of Jackie Brown.
The baby should have been holding that gun.
Yeah, exactly. When you have positivity, you absolutely got to kill every motherfucker in the room except no substitutes. That should have been that gun right there.
Yep.
Suppressed rifle. So yeah, I understand because you're going to be suppressing a lot of life with that thing.
Terrible. I am not a gun fan personally.
Me either. I really believe about you live by the sword, you die by the sword. But I don't believe on encroaching on anyone else for owning guns. But I'm
all for it. You know, people do what they want to do as long as they do it legally and, you know, whatever.
My whole meat of this argument is when you're buying that type of weaponry, in other words, Daniel Defense, I applaud you for making a commercial that mocks the because I mean everyone did a sentiment about, you know, banning military style assault weapons and all of that stuff. That's really what the commercial is about. It's really just poking fun at it, you know, because they, you know, everyone knows that you ain't buying nothing like this motherfucker right here, this M4 carbine ISR 300 blackout integrally suppressed rifle to defend your baby and your hot wife.
I just want the woman.
I mean, it's like you. That's when, you know, you buy that if you like live in Star Wars universe and you.
Did you see the guy's neighborhood? He lived in fucking suburbia.
But he needs that under the pillow.
Imagine under the pillow.
I mean, you know, $4,000
military grade rifle.
I mean, but you understand that, you know, you're talking about those weapons are built for warfare, not for defense. That's for warfare, man. That's to carry out a continual campaign against another enemy, man. Golly. That's the whole point of suppressing. Lay down suppressing fire, right? Oh, man.
But you know, it was smarter than them to even do this because they got more
publicity
out of it than they would have anyways.
Yeah, I mean, so they won anyway, you know, and I'm sure they have gotten a lot of orders and everything since then. But people are like, "Oh, look at this stuff." I mean, and it's sad because half of these people have no idea how to work these weapons. Probably.
I got nothing.
I mean, I'm looking at the one with the scope on it, and I'm like, it's just something else, man. Oh, they have videos? Hold on, they got videos, man.
No.
Oh, this is the commercial.
It's been a long road getting here. And a lot has changed since I got back.
Yeah, so this dude driving this Ford Explorer, narrating, yeah. Living in Beaver Cleaver Town. No, but you know what? But I kind of understand where some of them are coming from. And, like, I do believe there is a concerted effort to get rid of the Second Amendment.
There is, but they're taking it to such an extreme.
They are.
And it, I mean, it's Second really... Amendment is one thing if that website is for hand pistols and concealed weapons.
Correct.
That is for machines of massive killing. That's for protection. That is an obscene overkill.
Right, because I'm like, well, I mean, the serious question to really asking this question to ask in this instance is, what do you need that type of weaponry for? If you're not in the military,
you're a psychopath.
But even if someone says, "Oh, I like to go shoot out in the range," do you really go out in the range and shoot something like that? I guess.
Could you imagine, Ben? You get pulled over on your way to the range with that in your car. How that's gonna go?
I'd be shot. I'd be like that last story you about to do. They got shot 8 times.
Yep. Even if you had all your permits and everything, if I'm a police officer and I pull you over and I see that motherfucker,
you shoot me.
Not, it's just, I assume you are going to do some bad shit.
Right.
And, you know, like, kind of rightfully so, because look at that fucking thing. It's not a pistol.
No.
I don't know.
That is...
overkill.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not only overkill. That weapon is meant for warfare. That's not meant for
civilians.
That's meant for, in other words, anybody who buys that. I'm telling you, anyone who buys that, they really do believe that the new world order, what have you, is coming, and they're gonna, like, we ain't going for it. You know, that's the mindset of the people who will buy something like that if they're not outright psychopaths, maybe just paranoid, but not psychopaths. You know. I thought you might get a kick out of that.
That's too much. It's pretty funny though.
I mean, it's absolutely hilarious because
it's funny for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I mean that, nothing about those weapons are funny. You know, I mean.
No, but I mean, it's one of those things where it's such an extreme where you kind of have to find the humor in it because it's so ridiculously. I can't even find the word for it.
By the way, speaking of, there was someone who brought in a military, someone who robbed the Bank of America. He brought in like an AR-15 or what have you. Not only that, he was wearing a bulletproof vest and a sheriff's jacket and a mask. Not only would I have gotten the dude the money, I would have drove him away from the bank. Because he's waiting. he's waiting for that encounter.
Yep.
I'm like, no. I'm like, no, you go ahead and get in the car. I'll be there in 2 minutes. I got an M3. Don't worry about it. They ain't going to catch us, you know. I was like, we just need to stop by Chevron and pick up some gas. Man, but. Jeez Louise. So,
where do you go from there?
I don't know, man. What did you so? I'm guessing that you. What did you think of the Lexus, the RCF?
It still doesn't come in a manual.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I would never trade my M3 for it, but I would give Lexus the thumbs up and a high five for keeping the V8.
That car has two massive problems. One is the transmission. The second is the entire body. That car is hideous. There's no way around it. Like,
I mean, it's
hideous.
I think that the car is so polarizing, but at the same time, I'm happy because I rather have people be divided to be in a situation where a car can make people go ooh or ee, because in Lexus cars in the past it's always been it's all right. I mean, it's no winning nowadays. I challenge anyone to build a car where most people will say that truly is a class. You know, that's without them saying, "Oh, you ripped off this car, you ripped off that car." I admire that Lexus is even trying to build something that will. I mean, because to me, it's over the top. It's way over the top. The grill and everything is over the top, but to me, it works because that's the whole point. The whole point is not to be restrained. The whole point is not to be vanilla. The whole point is for people, is to turn heads. Whether it people be going, "Holy cow, yeah," or "Oh yeah," I mean, at least the cars are generating some kind of response. Because you know what? I bet that there are constant arguments within the Lexus brass. And I guess, and there's going to be people, probably the majority, who say, "Listen, we have the best reputation of any luxury mark in the world. Why in the hell would you try to change the formula that got us where we are?"
Boredom.
And really the answer is, well, bro, but the answer is that it's really the whole point of capitalism. It's nothing is ever enough. And that's how you get in trouble. I mean, because I think that's a good point to make. Lexus has always built cars that were great, luxurious, high quality, top-notch reliability. Everyone wants that reputation, and now you're risking it on, you know. But when you live in a capitalist society where, you know, every year you got to do better than the year before, you set yourself up for this kind of stuff. I think the car is extremely polarizing. I don't think it's ugly. It's just out there. It's ostentatious. It's over the top. But I admire them for trying to build something like that. And the 480 horsepower V8 is... I mean, I listened to the new M3, the new M4 gem. And going back to inline six, and I know that BMW was always known for the inline sixes. But maybe this is one of those things where they should have never put a V8 in the M3. Because I cannot see myself, even if I had the money, I can't see myself getting a new M3 or M4. I love that V8, that the noise, the V8 sound too much now. And I'm not the only one. Most of the current M3 owners are like, "Yes, I know that the new inline six got way more torque and, you know, all that. It's supposed to be a lot faster. It's a lot lighter, but it doesn't, it doesn't look better to me than the E90 series and the V8. BMW, in a sense, is probably a victim of its own success. And plus, after driving that Chevy Spark. I told you not to tell you, I almost put myself in the windshield.
No.
Because I was coming to a stop, you know, and I had a good little speed. So I leaned into the brakes. I leaned just a little bit too much into the brakes. I stalled the car.
Huh.
Because that hurt. That steering wheel going into my chest, that hurt.
That's a small little car, right?
Huh?
That's a pretty small car, right?
Oh, the M3?
No, I thought you were talking about the...
No, I'm talking about when I came back home, driving back home after dropping my friend off.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I was thinking in my head, I was just like, what is he talking about? I'm like, the brakes are not that good on a fucking little economy car like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I get it now. Oh, you know what showed up in my parking garage?
Another NSX?
Nope. A right-hand drive GTR.
Ooh.
1989 R32.
Ooh.
This is the first... The guy was waiting. He had it being held in customs. As of January 1st, completely legal to import them. 25 years old. So you can get...
Basically, you have a car show your garage every night.
Yeah. And lots of nice cars.
That's just... Of course, that doesn't bother me in the least.
But GTR looked good, man. I mean, it looked as old as it was. You know what I mean? Like, you could just tell the dating of it. But, I mean, that's a car I grew up looking at. Like, wow, that's a sports car. You know, like, that is awesome. I looked at GTRs, RX-7s, and Porsches. Those were the three cars when I was growing up. I was like, I want one of those. A lot of people, it's, you know, Ferraris or Lamborghinis or a Corvette. But it was kind of nostalgic to see one in person right in front of you, the real deal. So I expect in California especially to see a lot more of them around.
Jim, if I could, I will hug you very tightly because, you know, I realized thinking about my cars and everything, and I realized that you were the one that put some sense into me when I was talking about doing the 335 IS. You like, it's the same fucking car.
It would have been a step sideways.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
A step forward. It's a step sideways for a bigger car note. I that was, to me, a baffling even consideration.
Yeah, and I thank you for talking this sense into me. And because, you know, because of you, I kept on looking. It was you and my mechanic. My mechanic, he's like, but for another grand, you could probably get an M3. I'm like, no, I can't.
Yes, you can.
Yes, I can.
And yes, you did.
I cannot believe that. By the way, that's my favorite picture of my car.
When it was still in the dealer?
Well, that's like that side profile look, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that's just... That is absolutely probably... That is such an enduring design. I know the E46... is an enduring design, but I believe the E92 would just be just as much enduring. Because
different strokes, you know.
I mean, honestly, it's that profile there is about as perfect as you're gonna get. I don't see BMW could not have done that any better than what they did with that.
Yeah, it looks good.
And it's interesting, Jim, if I would have optioned out an M3, I would have got an Alpine White with black or red interior, stick shift with Navi, the premium, and the carbon fiber roof, and the 19-inch rims. That's exactly what I got. I'm the luckiest man in the world.
Yeah, as long as you're happy with the car, it's all that matters, dude.
I mean, and it's something that I know I've said it so many times, I still can't believe I own this car. There's times where I go out and I feel like, okay, let me go take this back to the dealer before it's stolen. But
one day that'll happen.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, the thing about it is I don't imagine where I can go from here. Where do I go from an M3, you know? Anything else? M5, that's way too big.
That's a mobster's car.
Yeah, and I'm not a mobster, you know.
It is. I think it's cool for what it is. But
it's so heavy, though.
Yeah, it's not. It's nothing I would ever remotely consider. But.
And then tomorrow is the BMW meet. Way south of here, close to the Oregon border. I'm going to take the car to the car wash because you think I'm going to get out there in 40 degrees in that windy weather and wax it down. No. I know that's bad. People like, you know, because my father does that. It could be, the world could be coming to an end outside. There's dragons flying around, lighting people on fire. My father be out there polishing this shit. That's never been me. In fact, when I first got my car, when I got my Camaro, my dad, he was out there waxing it down. I'm like, better you than me. I'm sorry. I've just never been that type of dude. I mean, like, I'm one to take it to a detailer and have him do it.
Really?
Yeah.
I do all that stuff in-house. I do all work that all work I'll do on my own. Everything.
Okay, so then I can bring my car to
from
you,
cleaning
right?
to maintenance, I'll do everything. And you know, basic work. I won't do cams. I won't do pistons. And transmission work is just dangerous if you don't have the right equipment to do it. But everything else, I'll do it.
So I can take you to I can take my car to you for the detail, huh?
Oh, that's easy, yeah. I like doing it. I put on some good tunes, and I go to town. I take forever because I get every part of the car, but looks awesome. And then with my luck, every time I do that and I spend all that time, it rains the next day.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. Especially living in Seattle, it's like all that work is going to be for naught in about 12 hours, you know.
Yeah, it's funny how that works because I'm in California now, and it's like it doesn't rain here, but I don't find myself washing my car that much. I've washed it once, and I've had it for a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
I don't drive much.
So
and it's indoors. I'm in an indoor underground garage.
But
so.
but it must be gnawing at you to get another performance car of some sort.
Not so much anymore. There are days where I'll get the bug, but compared to how it used to be, like I don't care anymore. I just don't care. Cars will always be fun and whatever, and you know, once I have more money and I know what to do with, sure. But right now, you know, it is what it is. I'm totally fine without it. I really am.
I'm one of those people that
you all right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry. But the other thing to consider, Ben, is I was doing it years before you were doing it too, so yeah. I've already kind of
done
a You've lot
had
with them.
You
whereas
had your,
this is
you
still like
feel,
something like
that...
really new to you, which is cool, you know. I mean, it's cool to find new things, especially the older we get, to find something that you can really feel passionate about. That's awesome. But it's like I've already done so much. I've raced. I've built cars and actually raced them on tracks. I mean, if I got another car, I'd have to do something at least on that level, because otherwise, you know, what's the point?
That's true.
I know how good it feels. And dicking around on a back road or in an autocross thing has got absolutely nothing on the real thing. It's got nothing on it. It's not even close.
I guess it's one of those things where it's what they're saying about, you know, is it better to love and lose and never loved at all? You know, it's like I've never been on the racetrack driving like you have been, and maybe that's a good thing, because if I did and really got a chance to learn and
see, that's when you get
experience.
Into real problems with modifications.
Yeah,
because it's not like you're just, oh, I have to buy this part, I have to buy this part. You have to test and tune, and then not even on top of that, you might have bought the wrong part, and the resale value is shit on parts.
Right.
So. You're dumping so – I spent so much money on that fucking car. And on the Integra too, I just spent so much money.
But really shouldn't – but shouldn't it – but Jim, in my case, should that even be necessary? The whole point of buying an M3 is that you should not have to modify it, right?
I'll tell you it's the same thing. Well, it was the same thing with the Integra, because in the one class I was in, you weren't allowed to mod it.
Okay.
So you had to run stock. But there were things that you were allowed to do So you had to absolutely do the best you could and buy the best stuff and get it tuned by the best people and get the most track time to tune it correctly to have an advantage over the people who have the same exact basic car as you. So it becomes even more expensive. Because testing and tuning is the most expensive part of the process.
Right.
You buy the parts and that's fine. You spend, even if you spend $2,000 on something, I mean, that's whatever. The track time and the time to have the proper mechanic or tuner there with you to live track it and then to do the alternations with you and then make sure that's the right setup, that's what kills your wallet. That's where the majority of the money goes. So it's just, it's one of those interesting things where you don't realize it until you're deep in it. And then you're like, wow, this is way more expensive than I would have ever imagined. I mean, I don't regret any of it. I'd do it all over again. It was a lot of fun. But once you go to the track and you do it for real, it changes everything. A lot of fun, though.
I mean, it's interesting, though. I guess I don't have to worry about that because I won't have enough money to do the modifications anyway. You know. But then you people say that all the time. But when there's a wheel, there's a way.
You come out of a fast, light S at 85 miles an hour, and you're just going full throttle after that huge G's at almost 90, and you're flying. You cannot do it on the street. There is no way to replicate it. Like, it is the most incredible feeling in the whole world. Even if you take a slower hairpin, like a 35, 40 mile an hour hairpin, if you do it right, the G's you feel, if your car is set up good and is obviously right wheel drive, your rear wheel drive, then you power out of that thing. That is just, it is an incredible feeling. Absolutely incredible. And you can't do it on the streets, because when you're on the street, there's always something, unless you're really young, that's holding you back from really pushing it. On the track, that element is gone on most tracks, on most corners, because there's enough leadway in between the bumpers, you know, those bumpers that you see that mark the edge of the tracks, and the actual track that you're on itself. So you have room. You're like, I mean, what's the worst thing that happens if I overshoot this? I'm going to spin out in the fucking grass.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really just go for it. And you can't do that anywhere but a track.
Maybe I should not take my car on the track. Because
I don't think
like,
you should. I really don't. I mean, enjoy it for what it is. I would recommend doing autocross. Because that's like, that'll give you some feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But the track is, it's heroin. It's heroin. You get that feeling once and you're like, oh, I have to do this every day. And just like heroin, you end up broke. So.
Yeah, I last thing I need is another addiction, believe me.
Well, it's a fun one to have, that's for sure. But it's so much more expensive than anybody that thinks they know. It's so much more expensive.
But you know what? But I also tell people this, that, you know, when I moved to Seattle back in 06, I was driving a 1996.
Was that an Altima or a Maxima?
No, I was driving a Buick Regal.
Oh.
A Buick Regal GS, custom, 130,000 miles on it. I bought it from a guy who bought it. It had some rust issues. In fact, the water got into the interior, and like there was mold growing out of the floor. You know, so I went from that. You know, which is it got me from point A to point B. It only stranded me once. Yeah, I think once. Then I went into a 2007 Maxima. Yes, I had a 2007 Maxima. It was a nice car. It never gave me any problems, actually. The only thing I didn't like about it was the CVT. But it was a good car. I mean, I didn't have any problems with it, and it's before the, you know, it looked good. It was before Nissan beat it with an ugly stick. But then when I got to 335, I started realizing that what it is to drive a great, or what it is to drive a car that is purpose built to be a driver's car, you know. And the fact that it's a stick helped that, obviously, is it, but it gave me an idea. But, and of course, being in an M3, I'm telling you, I'm 3 months into having this car. Even just going to work, and just going through the gears, it still puts a big-ass grin on my face. That, I mean, it's just one of those things. There's an experience, even when you're driving a car like a sane person should drive it on the streets. And then when I can lean into it, when I get onto the highway for entry point on the highway. God, my man, it's... By the way, here's another thing. I don't know how this happened. There's a cut in one of my passenger seat where your ass would be. Where would I go to get that fixed?
I have no idea. I've never had that happen to me.
Yeah, and I don't know how it happened either. Yeah, I'm
that's worried. Strange.
Yeah, it's just a little cut in the seat.
Just go to an upholster.
Yeah, probably a good idea. In fact, I'd probably do that.
That's strange. Like, I had to like think for a minute there. I was like, well, wait a second. That's like one of the only problems I've never had with the car.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all when you get excited about the car. That's all that matters, man.
Yeah. I just never, like I say, to tell people, I never thought I would ever own one. Yeah, so. All right, man. Well, hey, unless you got something else, I'm good for the calls. We do got one more game, so if you want to do another show after, well, we got two more games. You want to do another show tomorrow night, and I'm down.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll do a little recap and Super Bowl predictions, I guess, unless you want to save that for next week. It doesn't really matter to me. Because you got to remember, we're going to have that off week next week.
Let's do the Super Bowl.
No, not next week. The week after next week, we have an off week.
Right. Let's use that one for the Super Bowl show, because then we all know who will be the participants.
And there'll be nothing else for people to do.
Right.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Sounds good. All right. Well, hey, thank you guys for listening, all five of you.
Yeah, as always, you know, we appreciate it.
All right, you guys take it easy.
All right, night, guys.
Night.